to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we trade sweet, sweet facts like they're dirty little pieces of gossip. We'll rate each other's facts, and at the end, we'll even select the hottest fact of them all. The points really don't matter, but what does matter is that we're all hot. My name is Rachel, and this weekend my life flashed before my eyes when I was sitting at a park, and was hit by a model car that was going very fast, ricocheted off of another human, and then hit me. Yep, that's where I'm at.
Hi, I'm Chloe. I was the other human in Rachel's story. That small hand-held like motorized car, but like large for a small car, like a small child could ride it, came at me and I dodged it, but then it rode my leg like a ramp and shot straight at my best friend.
Hi, my name's Lindsay, and I watched this all happen. did not get hit and did not do anything. I apologize. It happened so fast. I could barely move. My brush with a fast car was when I rode a quad bike in Bolivia and got amnesia for the previous week.
Oh my gosh. What? I forgot about that.
So did I.
Hi, my name's Shem. When I was little, all my friends used to go into the woods and do like BMX jumps and like jump and do like cool tricks and like hop over things. And I would show up with a shovel and then just help dig jumps. And I'd never like do any jumps or anything like that, but I was just very good with like earthwork.
That's so sweet.
Hi, I am Kenise, and I didn't learn how to ride a bike until I was 9, and the person who taught me was my hairdresser's daughter when my mom was late to pick me up that one time.
Oh, that's so yeah. Cool. I'm happy it happened in just like one go. You know what I mean? That's impressive. That's talent. It takes some of us a very long time.
Ah, yeah, it was one
Wait,
time.
Does that mean you jumped on like straight without training wheels? You were just like, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
See, that's impressive. Oh, my neighbor would push me across the street to a patch of grass where I would fall, and then eventually I didn't fall, but it took a lot of pushes. It took me a long time.
I used to teach adults how to ride bicycles in Camden. I was like a teaching assistant. And then for like difficult adults who were like struggled, this prick would come in once a month and, "I'm Jonathan, the bicycle magician." And he'd wander around with this big like assortment of cycling paraphernalia and like fool adults into like thinking, like with a kid you just like put them then push them and they pedal and it's fine. With adults they have to be tricked into thinking they're smart, so you'd like have all these like models and like toys and props and go, "Oh, well, the central puntal force of a bicycle wheel has to interact with the centrifugal force and move lastly," and then all the adults would go, yes, very smart, very smart, and then like wobble and try like really hard to like ride. And it was so funny to me because they're all like very smart like lawyers and people like that. And then one really quick story about this was I taught adults, and I also teach children, but because Camden's a rich borough, I'd mostly teach like rich kids. And then after like teaching all these like kids, once we went to like a cafe to hang out, and I was like 16, so I was like fine. But like there was this like 12-year-old maybe who's like super posh, and his name was like Trifton Lambert or something like that. And then we were sitting down like ordering like tea and things like that, and it's like, "Oh, I'll have a coffee black, thanks." And then he just looked at me and goes, "So how are things going with you?" And I was like, "How is this child talking like this? I don't talk like that now." It was very upsetting.
Shem, I have known you for 3 years, and I consider you to be one of my dearest friends. And every time you speak, I learn something new about you. I'm like, is this ever going to end? I hope not. Like, I just love. Lindsay's like, no.
No.
I'm obsessed with that. Okay, great. Well, we already learned she's really good at riding bikes and learning how to ride a bike. I want to formally welcome our guest today, who is a New York-based writer and comedian and also the host of the Love About Town podcast. Please join me in welcoming Kenise Mobley.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this.
Of course.
It'll be fun. I always say we love learning what kind of facts people bring in, because it just gives you a peek into their soul.
Nice.
A little bit. So looking forward to peeking into your soul.
Okay.
At the end of the day, we're all psychoanalysts here. That's what we want you to get out of this.
Thank you, because I don't have a therapist right now, and you would save me a copay. So yes. I appreciate it.
This is what we're doing. This week, Chloe, you are kicking off with our first fact of the evening.
Okay. I hope this is as shocking to you as it was to me. I can't believe I hadn't learned. Like, I'm genuinely like, this is upsetting. Okay. I'm going to summarize it in one statement and then I'll elaborate. There used to be, as part of the Olympics, they would give out medals for art.
Was this a fact that Chloe shared before?
No.
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 Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Why did I think we talked about this already? You can cut that out. I'm sorry, Chef. I was like, yeah, you already brought this. Wow! What kind of art?
Okay, so now, here we go. Baron Pierre de Coubertin, the founder of the modern games, saw art competitions as integral to his vision of the Olympics. And then finally in 1912, he was able to get a place for the arts in the Olympics. The only caveat was that, so it was architecture, music, painting, sculpture, and literature. The only caveat being every work had to somehow be inspired by the concept of sport. That's it.
Did they create them as part of the Olympics? Were they like 3-day events? Or did like they get to come prepared and be like, ta-da? The other people like, we have to compete under pressure and you've had months to prepare.
I can't tell.
And maybe they never wanted us to know.
I was really excited and really on board for this until I heard it has to be inspired by sports. Like, I'm like, finally, someone is appreciating, and by finally, I mean this was a long time ago and we've not moved on from it, but I'm like, someone's appreciating art as a sport. And they're like, no, it's only art about sport.
I don't know. That feels like loose, though. That feels like you can kind of interpret this how you want, do whatever.
I've drawn a tree because the power of the tree symbolizes to me like the human soul and nature and competitiveness and the training cycle and seasonality.
Yeah.
How long did, do you know how long it ran for?
Yes. Okay.
Because I'm like, how fun would it be to have like a gold medal in literature?
Yeah.
It's about as fun as having a master's degree in literature.
I wonder if that's why they're like, there was a period of time like between like 1910s and like 1960s where they're just like weird ass buildings. And I wonder if the person was just like, you know what? I already have this architecture award. I want an Olympic medal. So I'm going to design this nonsense building and you guys will have to figure it out. But I have an Olympic medal now.
Yes.
You basically got the timeline from 1912 to 1952. Oh, juries awarded a total of 151 medals.
I think we've unlocked
just did that.
I think we've unlocked another conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about it. I love that. Like, this building is actually loosely based on like bowling pins, which is why it truly makes no sense and parts of them fall down. That's the only sport I could think of.
I would love,
which is why I would never meddle in sport arts. Art sports. Sport arts.
I would love if they brought this back to the modern Olympics and you'd see like there's javelin, there's the mixed 200 meters, and then just over in the corner, there's last comic standing.
And then they wake up And there's a new Banksy exhibit.
I want them to combine the two.
I'm just like, the training for Olympic teams is so intense. Like, kids start when they're like 12. Can you imagine just like, I mean, yes, my childhood was training to go into comedy, but like not intentionally. You know what I mean? Like, it led me here, but like by no choice of my own.
Did you want to know something fucked up?
Yeah.
Oh my God. This little addendum. Oh my God. The 151 medals that had been awarded were officially stricken from the Olympic record and currently do not count towards country's current medal counts. Another conspiracy.
No.
I think that's just a fact.
We have to think more. There's more under it. They want you to think it's just.
Did any country like crush? Like, was it like lots of like, you know, there's like loads of Russian gymnasts who like do really, really well, but like, was Sweden like just dominating in like sculpture or something?
I love Chloe's thinking face.
You're pretending.
And do you feel like this is something like, do you remember the 30 Rock episode where NBC has added a bunch of Olympic events so that the U.S. can do better, like tetherball and synchronized running? Yes. I feel like some of this is some of that.
Yes.
That's the one time that Britain did really well in the Olympics was when they kept winning at like weird aquatic sports that no one heard of, like sailing in the river in like a 3/4 length boat, and then we got gold for that. And then everyone on the paper like, "Oh, Britain's good at sport now. I mean, what do we do?" Oh, like it's like, no, you've created all these nonsense categories that no, like Yingling, which I cannot pronounce. It was Chloe. It's like you had a breakthrough
because our guest predicted another fact in the fact. An American won the first ever gold medal for sculpture.
See? They were like...
And his work was called An American Trotter.
Like, wow. I'm trotting?
So stupid. Yeah.
Not for the trotter who it was modeled after. What a proud moment.
My favorite...
Where you go?
Nope. Chloe, that fact...
Yeah.
Was as hot as my favorite American sculpture, the Hard Rock Cafe. Very hot.
Chloe, that fact is as hot as a kiln that would have been used had there been a pottery portion of the Art Olympics. So, hot and effective.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chloe, that fact was as hot as the fondue that I ate at the World Skills competition, which is where people compete in bricklaying and hairdressing to win gold medals in labor and very skilled work like that. And
I got to
get a seat for the cooking competition, and that fondue was hot, and that's how hot your fact is.
Wow.
That is so disparate. And I would not want like my hairdresser to be really good at laying bricks. They feel like separate.
And they couldn't call it the Skills Olympics because of the Olympics branding. They were like, no, new name. So it's called World Skills.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Do I say that's as
yes.
hot as?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Chloe, that fact is as hot as California is right now. It's 120 degrees. That fact is hot.
Whoa.
Oh, thank you. That's too hot.
That's too hot.
That can't be right. I mean, I know that's right, but for the world.
I was going to say, as our resident person from Arizona, that's hot. That's not supposed to be that hot. Ay, ay, ay. Ooh. All right, Linz, it's all you.
Okay, well, I'm taking us from art to anuses. The comb jellyfish, no, the comb jelly, also known as the warty comb jelly or sea walnut, has a disappearing butt. There is... no documentation of a transient anus in other animals that they know of. It is not visible when the animal is not pooping, and there's no trace under the microscope, which took me down a dark, dark route. The evolution of this creature can be traced back over 500 million years as they and they trace like the development of animals and anuses, and I ended up looking up on my work computer the origin of the anus, but it's a BBC article, so I figure it's fine and won't get flagged. But like some creatures like tapeworms or sea sponges don't have an anus, but they do have a digestive tract. Yeah. And then some creatures like a jellyfish use both their mouth to eat and to spit out poop.
Wow.
So, transient anus.
Kenise, your face when Lindsay first said transient anus, I wish I had a screen grab of that.
Is it appearing in the same place every time, or does it just...
Oh my goodness, I would love if it was like, surprise!
Yeah! True. It's just transient. It seems like it's like, okay, one day it's up here, and on your knee, and then it's over here. You don't know where it's going to come out.
Yeah, that does feel very mystical now. Ooh.
Ooh. Like, where does the anus go when it's not there, and what is it doing? What's its story?
I mean, I have some details. Essentially, as waste begins to pile up inside the jelly's tummy, it starts to push against the outer tissue of the animal. Mm. This finally causes an opening to form, allow the waste to pass through. After the job is done, the opening closes right back up as though it never existed. But it doesn't say if it's always the same opening.
Can you not even just, like, right again. The way that read sounds like you were right.
I don't like it.
So yeah. See, to me, it's like I would have imagined it just like kind of tucked back up inside, like whoop-de-doop. But the fact that it just like closes back up.
Right.
Wow. Are they like, I wonder, because we also in a previous episode learned that there is a jellyfish that basically just... its cells regenerate and it lives forever. It just cycles through the life cycle. I'm like, can this jellyfish's cells regenerate like that? Where it's just, cause like, we need to be studying jellyfish. Give me that medicine. Let me inject those cells into my face. You know?
Yeah.
Or my anus. I like it the way it is. I don't want to be surprised where it shows up the next time.
I like the idea that you use these jellyfish cells in your face, just especially the ones where it like it could be alive forever. It just goes through its life cycle. But like, yeah, you have an adult face and then a baby face.
Real just, like, Benjamin Buttony.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, celebrities inject everything into themselves to look younger. Like, why not a transient anus cell?
Rachel, maybe they already do and we just don't know about it.
All right, ding ding ding.
Ding ding ding.
Is there, because you're saying that they don't even show up under a microscope.
Mm-hmm. It's not visible when the animal is not pooping. You can tell I get really good research papers for this. There's no trace under the microscope. It's invisible to me. And that is quoting Sydney Tam of the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts.
Yeah, but maybe Sydney's a big creep. Like, the jellyfish could just be real shy and say, hey, get away from my bowl.
Just by like guesstimation, by like approximation, how big are these jellies? Are they like thumb size little dudes? Are they like eyeball size?
Eyeball size. They look real pretty. I got a picture of one. Let me see. I'm gonna.
It's okay if you don't have the answer at the ready. I'm just curious.
I mean, I think
I'm
we can
so
get
scared
it
to
ready.
Type in transient
anus. Yeah, They are, they're 100 to 120 millimeters. So, okay, so they're pretty. 3.9 to 4.7 inches.
Okay, cute.
Mm-hmm. So like although larger specimens have been reported from the Caspian and Black Seas.
And you said sometimes their anus is shared with the same cavity as the mouth? Like they'll just use them for both?
Different creature.
Yes, because that reminds me of like a cloaca where it's like a vaginal and anal cavity in one, like which ducks have. Mm-hmm. But I've never heard of... Again, Lisa's like, don't like it. No, no.
I think ducks are war criminals and they should be prosecuted as such. Ducks are bad.
Yes.
Yes. I want to see the prequel where you find out how Scrooge McDuck got all that money and it's just war profiteering.
No such thing as an ethical billionaire duck, okay? No such thing.
Yeah. There's like this TikTok going around of like teens being like, did you know you can just take ducks from parks and keep them? I'm like, no, we don't need these ducks raised by teens.
No.
Yeah, I said that somehow stumbled onto my... algorithm.
I would love if a bunch of teenagers stole a bunch of ducks and then suddenly learned, like, you know, responsibility, being a parent young, like all that. Kind of like that. Yes. Would be like a back, and then we suddenly get a really conservative generation that comes up behind us because of like your TikTok videos. Eesh. Unintended consequences.
Whoa. I'm already sweating. Speaking of sweating, Lindsay, that fact. That fact is as hot as... It always gets messy when you talk about hot poop.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm into it. As hot as the poo-poo that exits a jelly, knowing that it had to bust its way through its skin... guts, walls to make its exit. It has been working hard and we should appreciate it more.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Lindsay, I'm sorry for what I'm gonna say to you.
I'm excited.
That fact was as hot as the little jelly's transient anus when it is going to the bathroom, but it is unaware of where its body is in space. And so unbeknownst to the little jelly, it opens its transient anus above the surface of the water, and it's a sunny, sunny day, and it's just a bare anus under the sun. And he was just like, so hot.
He's like, they're like, I want to be a whale, but I'm just going to poop up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lindsay, that fact was as hot as the fury on Rachel's face as she's trying to coach the jellyfish in improv, and she keeps screaming yes and the jellyfish is no but.
Oh boy,
I'm crying.
Lindsay, that fact was as hot as the cesspools of amniotic material that existed at the beginning of what we consider time and birthed the first jellies. That's how hot it is.
Oh, that's beautiful. Hot. Wow. That's hot. Oh, I love it. Well, those were some hot, 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 hot facts. We're going to be back with even more facts after this quick advertising fact, which I shouldn't say that because I don't know. It's a legally it has to be facts that they say. So there's going to be some ads here. Da da da. That felt on brand.
Because this virus attacks the lungs,
it's never more infuriating when you realize that your life has a price tag on it.
The truth of the matter is, we are in the middle of an apocalypse.
There's no leadership.
I went from being an ER nurse to you're a healthcare hero. I feel like a sham.
Apocalypse Now is a podcast that asks if we are living at the beginning of the end. I'm Joanna Van Fine. Join me every week as I talk with interesting people and decide if we're all doomed. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Stranger Than Christian, a podcast hosted by me, Christian Carrion. Join me as I engage in unrehearsed conversation with people from all over the world. You truly never know what you'll hear on Stranger Than Christian. New episodes released weekly. Check out Stranger Than Christian on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Deezer, and on my website, strangerthanchristian.com. I can't wait to talk to you.
Up next, we are going to have Kenise, your hot fact of the eve.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like animal facts. I think I'm like everyone. we all enjoy knowing what these animals are up to. My hot fact, I'm hoping it hasn't been mentioned before, is that sharks, several species of them, when they vomit, they eject their stomach out of their body, and they'll wiggle it around in the ocean and then suck it back in. And people who study sharks see them do this as like a reaction to something that they've eaten that's bad that they need to get rid of, or as a reaction to stress generally. So if sharks are scared, sometimes you'll see them just throw up their whole stomach because they can't deal with what they're digesting right now.
I'm tearing up. Those poor little sharks.
I do throw up when I'm anxious. Wow, that has not been... No. Based on our reactions, we have not heard that before. Wow. Poor... Wow. And it like stays attached to them?
It stays attached. And the ones that... Not all of them are great at it. This is the article that I wanted to check. Like, I've known this since I was a kid, but I wanted to double check. But they were writing about different sharks and how they do it differently. Some are really good at it. And they'll just, like, within a second, they can suck the whole thing back into their body. But some aren't as good as it. And the researchers have to, like, prod the stomach back in and just be like, you got this, buddy. You can do it.
Oh, no. And like those poor sharks. Like, what if they throw, like, if they choke on their own tummy? Like, how?
Yeah.
Oh, poor guys. Oh, my goodness. And from getting spooked, I can't.
I love how the sharks are like, I'm going to shake my stomach out, while the jellyfish are like, don't look at my butthole, please. Don't.
Because you can't see it.
We all have different comfort levels.
Yeah.
Boundaries are so important, and I love boundaries that for all so of those important. Creatures.
What? It's funny that like the big...
boundaries are so important.
What's stressing a shark out?
Oh yeah, that's a good question.
What's causing stress to the sharks?
So it could be anything like being captured and studied. So when these researchers capture them and then like start looking at them, they'll be like, bleh. And
wow.
What will come out will be like the wings of birds or just like beaks of animals or like pieces of bone that don't just digest easily.
Oh, wow.
Like weird hard stuff that they'll just shake out into the ocean and then go about their day.
I wonder. Feelings.
I wonder if that happens to sharks that are like in aquariums and stuff. Like, ooh. I wonder if we just don't know about it, but like they have to be stressed. Like, I wonder if constantly, like, we just haven't been lucky enough to see it. The sharks are just like...
Can you imagine a five-year-old, like, with that annoying five-year-old that's, like, tapping on the glass, and then a shark just vomits its stomach? Like, what a way to teach a kid manners, you know?
It back up. It keeps going.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of traumatized children. They also do it if, like, a predator is, like a big, mean shark shows up. Yeah. They'll, like, throw up so they can get away faster. Like, they're not wasting energy on digestion. They're just like,
Whoa.
I imagined it more like a diversion tactic where like they disappear in a puff of smoke, but it's like a puff of their vomit.
A puff of vomit.
Oh, and definitely
disappear into the night.
If ever I'm stuck in the ocean, right?
You know what to do.
Yeah, if I see a shark, I'll just and then they'll be like, what is this gross one? Never mind.
You just
the water tastes weird now. No, thank you.
And then they grow up.
Yeah.
Or they'll be, I didn't know you were anxious. Let's talk about it.
You
they
do?
They just like nuzzle up and they're like, it's okay, bud.
Yeah.
Wow, your stomach stayed inside.
You may not know it, but we're trained psychoanalysts. Here to save you some money. Oh, I love that so much.
I've had a terrible image from the moment you said this of the other side, like a shark, like having like bowel trouble, then having like a prolapsed anus, popping that out and then wiggling that around in the sea and then sucking it back in. It's the same thing.
It is. Honestly, I've eaten exceptionally spicy food and wished I could do that.
Just now, be
better. Yeah, it would be better than just being like, oh no, I experienced it on this side, but also on that side. I wish I didn't.
And now I'm picturing you running around the restaurant just waving it around and going, oh no!
Oh no! Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Said,
oh my god.
And oh my god. You said you knew that as a kid too?
Yeah. I got these little animal booklets. Did anyone else get these in the mail? Where it'd be like little pamphlets on different types of animals. And I just remember the shark one very specifically.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, they went deep on the shark fact. They're like, they're going to remember this. One researcher was like, I'm tired of koala bears and cute animals. Great. Like, I can feel like, great, a vomiting stomach. Yes.
Okay. Kanice, your facts. Is as hot as this stuffed animal that I used to have when I was little that was a cat, and its name was Barf the Cat because I threw up on it so much because, like, whenever I was, like, sad or scared or anxious, and we've learned it's anxiety at this point, but, like, or sick. Like, if I had a cold, my body's reaction was to be, like, throw up. So, like, he had to undergo a lot and was probably very angry at me. So that's not that hot.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Kanice, that fact is as hot as the hot garbage that, unfortunately, a lot of sharks are consuming because of pollution. And I think we're all doing our part, and we have to hold our Congress people accountable, and they have to hold corporations accountable to protect the sharks. That fact was very hot. Honestly, I don't think I'll ever forget that.
Yeah, I'm going to remember that for a long time.
Kanice, that fact was as hot as a gorilla's anus, because gorillas are in a semi-permanent state of flatulence, so they're always almost constantly farting. So, like, as hot as, like, the little red ring that a gorilla holds, that's how hot that fact was.
Lucky them!
I know, they never feel bloated.
Yeah.
Just constantly tooting away.
Kinney's that fact was as hot as the hot mess I am right now, because I got so excited by your fact when the others started rating. I was like, I have to do this too, and I can't because I'm still thinking about the fact. I'm a real hot mess right now.
That's beautiful. All right, Shem, the time has come for your hot fact.
Mine's less hot and more just like an oddity, but like I'll deliver it Chloe style with one sentence.
A hottity.
But yeah, my fun weird fact was just like the moon is rusting and scientists don't know why.
What? Wait.
What?
Are you going on red?
Yeah.
I
metal.
Does it
want to scream?
Can we take oil to the moon?
According to like the scientists at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, they've detected traces of like rust or like a rust like compound happening on the moon. That shouldn't happen because that's rust is like an oxidation with like oxygen and water. There's famously no oxygen on the moon, but they feel like I think it's maybe like trace elements of hydrogen are coming from the earth and then combining with like elements on the moon to create like a little rust layer. But like if when they're looking at the moon through the scope, they're slowly seeing it's got like hematite, like a rust compound is like growing up. So like, yeah, we're getting like a bigger, there's more and more rust growing on the moon. They're not sure why it's happening and they're not sure how to stop it.
We've already fucked up our planet, and now the moon? That's our escape plan, live on the moon!
Oh my gosh.
I think somebody's doing something secretly on the moon. I do. I don't trust other countries. I don't trust this country. No. And I figure someone's doing something up there, and they're not telling us, but that's what's contributing to the oxidization.
So when
that feels like Elon Musk shit.
That car that he just shot into space, yep. Which I am convinced he killed someone and then shot their body into space in a car.
Oh my God.
Elon Musk.
That's a surefire way to...
Where's the evidence?
Yeah. I like your order of events as he killed someone, then shot them into space in the car.
You just put them in the car, shoot it up there, it'll do its job. Yeah.
It was unintentional. Now where do I get rid of the body?
I feel like that's maybe what's happening every time my friend says, oh, we're moving out of Brooklyn, is like maybe they're all heading up towards the moon.
Like no one's invited us yet.
It's just a comedy club up there.
But we're not booked. Sad. Wow. It's like when you were little, did you ever like hear that like the moon was made of cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Like not seriously, but you're like, yeah, the moon's made of cheese. And now it's going to be like, kids, the moon is made of
moldy cheese.
Moldy cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That will be the analogy.
I think I did believe it for a while, like at a pretty young age.
I can see that.
I was like, yeah.
I can see little Lindsay being like, glad it's a Swiss. Well, don't give it enough attention. Shem, that fact is as hot as the rapidly rising temperatures on our planet that we too, as Chloe said, need to hold our representatives accountable for. I'm laughing just because I'm trying to, not because of it's not serious, it's very serious. I was just trying to repeat Chloe's delivery and I was not there.
I'm smiling.
But yeah, it's as hot as global warming because this planet's freaking toasty.
I like that by the end of this podcast, all four of you will be running for office. Like, it feels like you're all going to...
Yes. You know what? After doing what I do for work now, I'm like, let's make it happen, people.
Shem, that fact is as hot as... I think Buzz Aldrin was to some people, probably. It feels like he started out attractive, right? Like, generically attractive for just some white guy? I don't know. And then he went to space and stepped on the moon, and that's gotta make you hotter to people. That's a hot fact,
Are you
Shem.
Saying he became
and
hotter?
And I'm worried.
Did he become hotter, like... just because he'd been on the moon, or like there's like some chemical property to space travel that...
Well, honestly, both.
Oh, because I'm looking at him and he's like, he's pretty good.
I actually think he's hotter as an old man than he was when he walked on the moon. Like, I'm not lying to you. Like, I think he's more attractive as an old man. Huh? It's the facial hair. It does him well. So maybe it was the moon.
Well, what if he never... Wait, is he alive still?
Because
I was going to say, what if he never dies? But he might have passed away already. And I am so sorry to the family and to
He is children. Alive and he's 90 years old.
Wait, wow. He never dies.
What if?
What if?
I'm going to...
Champ. Oh, no.
Oh, literally, I'm just going to call it now that, like, 40 years from now, I'm going to become old man hot. That's my goal. That just feels like something to look forward to.
I mean, I feel like I should now be like, Shem, that fact is as hot as old man Shem hot. But I will go with Shem, that fact is as hot as moon boots when you have a real toasty pair of moon boots to walk out in the snow in and they keep your feet snug and hot. And you take them off and you're like, these were too hot. They were synthetic. That's how hot.
Shem, that fact was as hot as the red brick ovens we're going to build on the moon to make pizzas. Because why have all this red stuff around? Why have all this rust around if we're not going to make bread and have pizza?
Beautiful.
Hell yes. As I'm like eating a cauliflower pizza, I'm like, yes.
Oh, wow. It turns out they're looking through the telescope and now the moon is rustic. It's very exciting. I apologize.
I'm good. Okay. I'm going to bring it home with the last fact. This one is truly random for me. But we have a lot of vegan friends of the pod, vegan hosts of the pod, vegan guests of the pod. And I found out that figs are actually not technically considered vegan because they are full of dead wasps.
Yeah. I've heard about the amount of wasp in a fig last year and stopped buying fig bars. I was like, I'm out.
Yeah. So basically, like, a flower blooms inside of a fig, the unripe fig, which later ripens into the actual fruit that we enjoy. But because their flowers are on the inside versus the outside, they can't pollinate in, like, a normal means. So there's a specific fig wasp where they have, like, a mutualistic relationship. And the fig get pollinated, and the wasp lays their eggs inside the fruit. And then the female wasp dies inside of there. So it's like the mother sacrifice, because her wings break off when she crawls inside the fruit. Yeah, it's male figs where that happens, but the figs that we normally eat are female. But occasionally the female wasp gets confused and accidentally lays her eggs in the fig. So the figs that we're eating aren't normally, but because they can't 100% guarantee that, they're considered not vegan because full of wasps. And I'll let you sleep with that knowledge.
Now I'm thinking of figs as little wasp coffins.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for sharing that.
For the first time in so long, I had so many fig bars this past week.
Oh, why? I'm so sorry. Chloe is also vegan. I'm so sorry.
I am.
My family grows figs.
Oh, no.
That's like a thing my family does. Like, my grandfather had a fig tree. My mom now has a fig tree. My sister, because she owns a house, has planted one of the figs from my mom's home.
Oh. Well, you know, it helps them.
Disappointing.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Rachel came in so bubbly. This is random for me.
I'll caveat that I panic found it about 10 minutes before the podcast started when I realized it was Tuesday, which is why it's not about, like, dancing or, like, something whimsical or, like, snacks, like Pringles. It's about this.
About dead, lonely female figs being encapsulated in the fruit and slowly, like, being turned into food, which sounds like a wonderful Pixar film. Like, that kind of, you could start off in that world and then watch them escape or come to accept their suffering. Like, either works.
Can you imagine? That would be such a traumatic, like, movie for a little kid. Like, there's this wasp who's like, I'm gonna get into a fig, and then its wings break off and it dies. It's like able to have its kids, but it's never able to raise them.
It reminds
That's
like me of,
like, The Land Before Time.
It reminds me of, like, Mrs. Havisham from, like, Dickens, who's, like, just sitting there with, like, their wedding dress and, like, going, oh, my day.
My head just confused Mrs. Havisham with Miss Hannigan from Annie. And for a moment, it was insane. I was like,
oh, 100%.
I expected Shem to reference. Oh, wait, I'm back on track.
I was imagining Carol Burnett. so I'm with you for there. All right, how hot is that?
Oh, Rachel.
My beautiful segue.
Rachel, that fact
Chloe's body is like reeling.
It is my, I don't know if you can see, but I have full sweat beads on my face. I'm very hot, and that's how hot that fact was. I didn't like it, and I don't think I can ever eat a fig again.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I've ruined so many lives.
Not as many as the figs.
Rachel, that fact is as hot as the anger I felt when, as a lifelong vegetarian and like vegan now, I got stung by a wasp and I was like, hey, what gives? Like, I mean, come on, I've been good.
I was like, I'm a good boy.
Yeah, it felt like a genuine betrayal. Like, I was mad at it. And that's how hot your fact was.
Thank you so much.
It feels a little like that in the moment because we have bed bugs and I'm like, we don't eat animals, so don't eat us. Please stop. Rachel, your fact is as hot as a cup of hot ginger and honey on a winter's day to soothe a sore throat.
Oh, thank you. Kenny's looks like she's crumbling.
I'm looking at photos of figs in, or wasps inside of figs.
No.
That is as hot as it must be to generate with thousands of your brothers and sisters inside of a small plant that we later eat and make into Fig Newtons.
Yes.
Very hot.
Very hot.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like the previous delicious pizzas I've had with fig on them, as well as Fig Newtons. Yeah.
I'm thinking about the bit in The Matrix when Neo like bursts out of that pod and he looks around and sees all the others, but set on Kinesis family's fig farm when like a wasp pulls its way out and looks left over.
I've made it. Oh. All right, so usually this is the time in the podcast where, Kinesis, we ask you to pick the hottest fact of the evening, but I am going to change things up today. Because I feel like I encourage guests to pick themselves if they feel like they had the hottest fact of the evening. And they never do because they're all very polite. And I just, you had the hottest fact of the night and you deserve to walk away with that title. So I am going to give that to you on behalf of Trash.
Thank you.
Bestow you with the hottest fact of the night. Because I think we will all be thinking about shark vomit in a way that isn't as traumatizing as wasp figs.
like
in a lovely way.
You decreed that to push the heat off your wasp fact. It was like a coup. Yes.
We can just cut it out of the episode. Just cut me out. It'll be like, Rachel's on vacation again. Chloe actually hosted.
She thought it was Tuesday. No.
It was Monday. Rachel was never here. No, but truly, thank you so much for joining us. If our audience is like, ooh, yeah, we want to hear more, where can they hear more from you?
Okay, you can find me on all social media at Kenise Mobley. It's the same across all the platforms. And you can listen to my podcast called Love About Town.
Yes, and we will link to those in the
Thank
places.
You.
Of course. We had such a great time. Friends, as always, we are Trash. This is Hot Goss. We will be back next week, but you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at We Are Trash Comedy. You can send us your hot facts at wearetrashcomedy@gmail.com. We are part of the Apocalypse Now podcast network, so go check out some of their good stuff. And that's it. Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.